Okay, now that we understand that, let's start talking about the growth equation. What are the main parts of that growth equation, and how can you start thinking about compounding growth over time, regardless of the context that you're finding yourself into? And I like starting to talk about this with a concept that, like most of you guys are going to be aware of the idea of product market fit. I think it's tough to talk about this without it being a really dry subject sometimes, but the idea of product coming before market creates a bunch of weird nuances. Like you're starting with a product and you're trying to make it fit with the market, or you're looking for a market for your product, which is absolutely broken. The truth is that market product fit is no longer enough. And I'd like to bring up a few questions that you can ask yourself to help you demystify the things that make growth feel hard. So let's start priming your brain for the next little exercise, which is building the model together. So number one, like how can I be really intentional about the growth rate that I'm deciding on? Like, why am I choosing this growth rate? Why is it realistic? Is this something that I feel is going to have an impact? Like, how many times have I heard founders asking growing 7% a week? Like this idea of growing 7% a week is fabulous, because if you start at zero users, at the end of the first year, you have 100,000 users. That's really why 7% a week became a thing. But the fact is that growing 7% a week is super hard as of like the seventh or the eighth month. Like 50 plus percent of your growth comes in the last 2 months. So you could be doing things on your own and like hitting the grindstone and hustling and doing things that don't scale for the first 10 months, but then you were going to hit a wall if you did not build systems for the first 10 months. It's like a fable all over again. It's the eating and dancing all summer long, and then when winter comes about, which everybody was aware of that winter was going to come, nothing to eat, and you go out and you ask the other animals. So how can I be really intentional about this growth rate that I'm setting for myself, and why did I choose that growth rate? And how is and where is luck going to be involved throughout this process, and how can I de-risk that? One great way to think about this question is, what are the ways that this thing can fail? And what would I need to build or put in place such that those failures never take place? What are the elements at play that are going to influence my own ability to drive these results? One of the biggest ones for me is budget. Do you have budget? Do you have any resources? Is this a bootstrapped circumstance? It's going to have an impact on your strategy. What is your team good at? Are you guys product people? Are you really good at design? Are you mostly marketers with no engineering talent and you're trying to get somebody on board? Like, think about how the elements at play are going to influence your ability to execute, and then de-risk those things first. How do the things that I learn every day by speaking to people, how do I take those and weaponize them in my model? And then how can I reliably like build on top of different things as I go? Like if I have spent the last 5 years working on a particular, kind of category of business, ideally the thing that I'm going to be working on builds on top of that, because otherwise that's like 5 years of knowledge that not only is going to start getting rusty as you don't use it, but then also it doesn't get used, which is a waste. Finally, try and think about how the things that you learn or the things that you see and can touch and can feel, i.e., through experiments. So once you see the result of an experiment, you are very much responsible for carrying that information back to your model and then making adjustments. Because the model is, that's the, like, by definition, a model is just like a mold, and it becomes something useful when you come back to it with real data and then you compare and contrast. Because this whole calculator, which you started with a bunch of assumptions, is going to spit out a very different result if you put in a different input, right? So consider how your inputs changing is going to have an impact on your business changing as well. Like to share with you a concept that you might already have heard before, like how sometimes working at a startup can feel like you're pushing this boulder up a mountain. And like, no matter how hard you push, like the boulder feels so heavy, you know, like it's really, this is about going out every single day and having to hit the grindstone every single day, and the next day having to start from scratch, constantly looking for new ways to grow. Whereas you might have had the opportunity or the chance to work in such a startup, some others that have figured things out, feels like you're just pushing the boulder down the mountain, and that boulder is gonna keep going, whether you take a day off or not, is gonna keep going. So this is actually what scenario B looks like. A couple of years ago, I'm not gonna share the name of the company, but I started working with a SaaS startup who basically started to take off when we brought a couple of adjustments that ended up being absolutely key adjustments that had nothing to do with their product market fit, which is why I'm saying that market product fit is not enough. Like, you need to think about how the other things are influencing both your product and your market, but then what are the things that you don't know yet? So what happened with that company? Well, they were able to get all four pieces of a puzzle to fit in that the market that they had chosen and the product that they had built to solve the problems of the market, that market was now in compatibility with the kind of business model that they wanted to use to extract value. And that business model was fitting with the kinds of marketing channels that they were using to acquire customers, but then also the kinds of channels that they had built their product on. All of these nuances were working together. This is the growth curve in that year for that company. And it just like, okay, well, they were stuck at some point, obviously, in scenario A. And then eventually they got like pushed right into scenario B. And the question from point A to point B was like, point A is, how do we finally get out of this rut? Point B is, how do we make sure we build systems quickly enough so that the company doesn't implode from growing so fast? Very different. The reason things weren't working in scenario A for that particular company is because the market that they had chosen was not accepting that the model that they had, that this company had chosen to use, which was charging $100 a month. So they were going after an SMB market who is quite cost conscious. And because they were charging $100 a month, very few SMBs were signing up and were willing to spend that kind of money. So the actual addressable market at that price was way too low for them to actually be making much money. But then on top of that, because of the model, the kinds of channels which they had determined were influencers who were very into the product, they thought the product was a game changer. The problem was that the product cost too much, and it was hard for the influencers to be able to espouse this product to their communities because it would be hard to get started with it because it costs too much. So what they ended up doing, really, the recommendation was to destroy the barriers that are coming and preventing a fit across all four of these dimensions. And in this case, what we decided to do was make the product freemium. So you can sign up for free and you have access to a baseline product. And there are powerful features that you can add as long as you purchase a pro plan, for example. And then your cost of the pro plan is based on how much value, the scale of value that you get. Kind of like a HubSpot, where a HubSpot is going to charge you on average, call it $500 a month for the base marketing, I think, product. But then it's that $500 a month is going to scale based on how many email subscribers you have. So very, very similar model. When we did that, influencers jumped on it because the product was now free to get started with. The amount of signups started to skyrocket, and stories about how the product was being used to create value started to come out. Product-led growth really started to take off. So it's not just about market product fit, but notice how I focus on the word market first. You know, like that's really where you want to be starting, because without the market figured out, you can't build a product, right? The market, we're going to go through a small exercise in a second. This is something that you guys have probably seen before. Like, you've seen this, it's the cart before the horse. And I mean, the fable here, or like the story here, is not so much that you don't want to do things like before other things. Like that's, I think, a little bit obvious at this point. Like what I really want to use is the two specific items we have at hand right now, which is like this cart and like this horse. And I'm realizing, like, why do you have a cart and why do you have a horse? Like the reason you have a cart is because you have stuff, call it in like city A, that needs to be hauled to like city B, right? And that's where my problems are lying. It's the stuff that I need to move from point A to point B. So my solution is the horse. I think pulling this cart with a horse is the better solution to the problem, which is getting this cart from point A to point B. But the truth is that if my cart doesn't contain a bunch of stuff and it contains just a couple of apples and a couple of bananas, this could be a solution too, a basket, right? I have to think not just about the order of things, but then also the nuances of how my product is going to have an impact on how my eventual customer is going to react to it. So think about first the observed problems. If you only have a couple of apples, you don't need a whole cart. You could just take a basket, right? And think about the proposed solutions after that.